Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Please hear the reading of God's Word. And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, and in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal in the midst of the throne, and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming in a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open or read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then they came and took a scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. Now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, You have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom, and their strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and earth and under the earth, and as such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever. And let us pray. Our Father, we come before You this afternoon to extol Your Word, to extol You by the reading of Your Word, and we thank You for the revelation You gave John. And we pray that You might open our eyes to what this has to tell us. And we pray that we might be strengthened thereby, that we might be made holy, and that it might be an effective means of grace in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I got to tell you, this is one of my most favorite passages of Scripture. This is, I just love the symbology and the picture that's given here in Revelation 4 and 5. There's almost no other place in Scripture which gives us a clearer view of what happened on the cross, what happens in our lives, and what happens and what has happened in heaven as a result of Christ's work. Now, we should start with kind of talking about what's going on here. John has just been, he's been in the Spirit, he says, on the Lord's Day, in chapter 1. And he's in the Spirit, I assume meditating, praying to the Lord, and he receives a vision from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to him and gives him a vision and tells him that he is going to show him all kinds of things. Something that no one else has ever seen. And he wants John to proclaim it to the church of God. Now we need to remember that when we're reading the book of Revelation that it's highly symbolical. There's a lot of symbology, there's a lot of metaphor, there's many similes. But these all represent realities. They do represent real things, but we need to interpret them according to what God's Word gives us. In fact, in John tells us in chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Now, signify means to give a sign for, to give symbology, to signify it as it was, to give a sign for that which is for something else. To not necessarily show you the real thing, to show you a picture of the real thing, but perhaps we can't understand it, or perhaps because it helps us understand what's going on, to actually give a sign. To signify is a concept or meaning as distinguished from the sign through which it is communicated. So the sign is different, but it definitely represents something. And John has received this revelation from Christ after he's received the revelation regarding the seven churches while he's meditating on the Lord's Day. And we should consider how overwhelming this was for John. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Christ has just sat there. I mean, he's just sitting there, and Christ has given him the revelation of the seven churches, the letters to the seven churches. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 4, after hearing all this, it says, "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door open in heaven." I mean, he looks up at heaven, and he sees a door opening. I mean, it's quite a bit to get the vision of Christ and to have the letters coming from Christ to his seven churches. But then there's even more. I mean, he's got to be just overwhelmed. I mean, he's trying to kind of clear his head, probably trying to, you know, take in all that he's just heard, and saying to himself, "Wow, this is amazing. All these things I've just heard." But then he looks up and he sees a vision of a door opening up to heaven. And so, I mean, imagine that would be a sight that would just take your breath away. And, there'd be astonishment. I mean, there'd be wonder as you're wondering what it is you're looking at. You know, door opening to heaven. And to be, I mean, you'd be even surprised. And then after he sees this door, the voice says from heaven, he says he hears a voice, and he says, "And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this.'" So the voice wasn't a trumpet, but the voice was like a trumpet, indicating authority and urgency. And you know, the voice is, you know, telling him and expressing an urgency, "Come up here." John tells us that the voice is speaking with him. He says, "Speaking with me." So the message in the trumpet was specifically for John. And then the direction to John is, "Come up here. Come up here in this door and come and see what's behind this door." And it says, "I will show you things that must take place after this." So the voice tells him, "I'm going to show you some things behind this door that are going on that you need to tell the rest of the church about. These things are going to take place after this, and you need to communicate it to the church." And then he was enabled to obey. In verse 2 it says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and he was drawn up to the door." And then as he's drawn up to the door, it says, "Behold, He finds himself in heaven. So when you get this impression that he goes from one astonishment to the next. I mean, it's, you know, first it's Christ, then it's the letters to the churches, and then behold, there's a door in heaven, then he goes into heaven, and then behold, there's even more here. And it says, and behold, what is he? I mean, he says, what is he? He says, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat on the throne was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 elders, 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings, and voices, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And so he sees a vision of heaven, but even then, it's a vision. There's a lot of symbology here. But what does the symbology represent? Well, the throne represents something, because that's the first thing he sees. He says, "Behold, a throne and one sitting on it." And the throne indicates kingly authority and lordship and rule and sovereignty. And these are implied by the vision of the throne. The symbology of a throne is used over and over again in Scripture, that God sits on a throne and that He rules from this throne. And the other thing to notice is that there's one throne at the center. It is at the center of everything. And there's one seated on the throne. There's not three at the center, all in equal. There's not 12. There's not 24. There's 24 thrones around the one throne, but there's one throne at the center. And the other thing to notice is that there's one seated on the throne, and that one seated is called a he. That he is not an it. He's described as a person. He's a he. So the real question, you know, that we have, and we probably know, but the question we have for ourselves is, who is this throne? Whose throne is this? Well, let's turn to Ezekiel 1:26 through 20:29. And read that together. Ezekiel, the visions that John had here are very similar to what the same visions that Ezekiel had in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And above the firmament, above their heads, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. And on the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire and brightness all around it. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance and the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking." So when Ezekiel saw this vision, which are a very similar vision of one throne with the color of sapphire and the rainbow around it, and this appearance, he tells us that this was the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And that's the Lord Jehovah, or Yahweh, that Ezekiel is referring to. Now notice that Ezekiel is referring also in his vision some of the symbolic nature of his vision. He says two times, "as it were." So he's trying to describe to us something that perhaps he can't quite put into words, something that we have a complete equivalence with. And four times he uses the word "a likeness of." So he sees a likeness of a throne and the likeness of someone sitting on the throne. So there's some symbolic nature there, but we need to remember that this is not necessarily a vision of, literally, of God Himself, because Christ said that no man can see God and live. So Ezekiel is not actually seeing God Himself. He's not seeing the Father, but he's seeing a likeness of the glory of the Lord. But it's clear that this likeness is none other than the Lord God. And so when John is seeing this vision too, that is very similar to Ezekiel, when Christ gives this vision, he's expecting his readers to go back and look at the Old Testament and understand some of the symbology there and to kind of bring that forward. He's using similar symbology so that they know who it is. But John's description in Revelation goes on and he gives even more detail. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. And the second living creature was like a calf. And the third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all these things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Now if you go back again and look at Ezekiel, you'll notice that there are things that are similar, but they're a little different. There are some differences. Like, for example, each creature had six wings in John's revelation versus four in Ezekiel's vision. And in Ezekiel's vision, each creature had four faces, and an ox, a man, an eagle, and a lion. Whereas John's creatures were separate. One was an eagle, one was a man, one was a... he describes it, I think, as a calf and a lion. So that you have these four creatures, but they're described a little bit differently, which kind of indicates that this is symbolic visionary. This is not actually a vision of heaven. And Ezekiel's... I'm sorry. But even if there is a debate about the symbology of this, there's no question that this is quite a scene of worship. That whoever's at the center of this throne, whoever this is receiving all the attention and all the adoration. And the ones around this, the 24 elders and the four creatures, they live to worship the one that's on this throne. I mean, that's the center of their existence. And there's no question that this worship is singular and unique to the one who sits on the throne. There's no one else, nowhere, no one that even comes close to receiving this kind of adoration and attention. And so the Lord God is presented here, the Lord God Jehovah of the Old Testament is presented here as being the one on the throne, and He's receiving all the worship. So we have this picture of a worship service, as it were, going on. And then in chapter 5, the vision changes. It kind of abruptly changes. And it's like our vision is kind of broken away from this worship service. And in chapter 5, verse 1, John says, "And I saw, my eye went to the right hand of Him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it." And so this worship is interrupted, as it were, of this realization of this existence of this scroll. The one sitting on the throne has a scroll in his right hand. And he has his hand on it, and there's no one's going to look at it. And John says that he realized that there was no one. And when the angel proclaimed there's no one that could open the scroll, he wept. He says, "I wept much because no one was found worthy to open or read the scroll or to even look at it." So, you know, you get this picture that the Lord God is on the throne. He's got this scroll in His hand. It's got seven seals on it. And no one can look at it. No one's going to take it from His hand. No one's going to take it by force. And, you know, it's an impossibility. And so he weeps. Now, something must be about this. There must be something about this scroll that he sees that is important. And John presents this as kind of an amazing thing. But then when the elders looks down at him, he says to him, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Well, and who is this Lion of the tribe of Judah? Well, it tells us in Revelation 22, verse 16. If you look there, he says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." So if we're familiar with the Scripture, we know right away that the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, is Jesus Himself. And it says that He has prevailed. Well, what He's prevailed to open the scroll. And I take this to mean that His purchasing on the cross for us, as He describes in verse 6, is what He has prevailed to do. "And I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain." So He's described as a lion, and He's also described as a lamb as though He had been slain. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. "Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out in all the earth. And then He came and He took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne." Now this scroll, I take this to mean that this is what He purchased with us. When he went to the cross, after He went to the cross, He approaches the throne of God and He takes it from and sits down at the right hand of the Father in heaven and has purchased that for us. But He is the only one that can do it. But what's amazing about this verse then is that all this worship that was focused on the throne, the Lord God at the throne, then all the attention is focused on the Lamb. And it says, "Now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for You were slain, and You have redeemed us to God by Your blood, and out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" A beautiful song of redemption. And then more join in on this worship of the Lamb. "And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 by 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" And so all this attention that was focused on the Lord God is now focused on the Lamb. And He is given praise and adoration and told that He is given and He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom. And then the song continues. And even more join in. Even all of creation joins in, it says. "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Notice how the praise is now equal and magnificent for both, for the One who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And you see this symbology and this go throughout the rest of Scripture, throughout the rest of the book of Revelation, and it ends at the end of the book of Revelation when it says all praise is given to Him, and it describes Him as being singular, and yet He is described as being the Lamb and the One that sits on the throne. So to what angel did God ever permit such praise and adoration? To what creature did God ever permit such praise and adoration? To what servant? Well, none. None but the Lamb of God. We see how the angel Jesus sent responds when John attempts to give Him just a bit of adoration in Revelation 22, verse 8. When John bows down before the angel, it says, "John, now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that.'" The angel tells him, stops him, and says, "No, get up. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." And then in a climactic, I mean, it's like in verses 4 and 5, it's like it rises to a kind of a climactic crescendo in the finale at the end of chapter 5 when he says, "And then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever." Well, is he worshipping the one that's on the throne or is he worshipping the Lamb? Are they worshipping the one who sits on the throne who is the Lamb? And so I think that, I mean, there's almost no better argument from Scripture than Revelation chapter 4 and 5 for who Christ is. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Holy One. And He is the one true God. And He is equal in power and substance with the Father. And it is one God that is three in one. And there could be no question that no other could receive such adoration. And the application for our lives as well in this is that, notice how that they are all, that all the focus and attention goes to the center, goes to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And they do all things with a mind toward His worship and praise. And so that ought to motivate us to refuse unbelief and doubt and make our Lord, to make our Redeemer, the center of our lives and the center of everything that we do, the very center of our being. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before You and we thank You that You have given us Your Word, and so clearly You demonstrate who You are. And so clearly You describe to us the deity of Christ, and that it is a blasphemy to consider Him but a creation. It is to rob God Himself of His worship to say that the Lamb is not worthy of honor and glory and adoration as Lord Jehovah. If He is not worshipped thus, then You are robbed. Thank You, Father, that You have made it so clear in Your Word. We pray that You would cleanse our hearts from unbelief and from doubt, that we might focus our lives upon You, that this might symbolize our lives, that we might be as the elders and as the four living creatures who day and night proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." May everything we do be done with a mind toward praising and worshiping You. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.